we try to teach at our agency is like, how do you differentiate yourself from the other competition? Mm-hmm. How do you position yourself? What value do you really bring to your clients to where you're so invaluable?
I'm Grace, your host, and I'm here to share a toast with Orlando's top marketing leaders. This isn't your typical business chat. We're going after hours, exploring the latest tips, trends, and strategies that drive measurable growth, all while winding down with our guest's favorite drink in hand. So grab your favorite cocktail and join us for a lively conversation that is sure to leave you buzzing with fresh ideas. Welcome to After Hours Buzz. Welcome to the very first episode of After Hours Buzz. To kick things off, we couldn't think of a better guest than Shailen Dever, the founder and chief growth officer of Chatterbuzz Media. Shailen is a former engineer turned marketing agency powerhouse and one of the strongest women in business I am honored to call a mentor. Over a glass of her favorite drink, sake, she shares her journey from leaving a thriving engineering career and turning down an opportunity at Google to building Orlando's premier digital marketing agency. We'll dive into actionable strategies, the role of AI in marketing in 2025, and her secret to building successful teams and solving challenges using the EOS and IDS models. Let's get buzzing.
Hi, Seth. Thank you for having me in your podcast. And so what's my story? So how I started as a marketer. So I didn't start as a marketer before. So obviously I was in engineering. I worked for enterprise company for 10 years, but I was always a hustler. So I'm motivated by money, as you know. So even though I was working, I was like, man, how can I make more money? Mm-hmm. So then I started doing my side business, right? So one of my goals when I was also an engineer, I wanted to work for Google. Why not work for like the coolest company in the whole world, right? But I knew to get into Google, I got to get into their products because I'm going to be sitting down with the best people, mm-hmm. like in the whole world, right? Like not in a nation. So I started learning Google Ads, started learning programming and all the stuff like web programming, which is not really embedded or taught to me. So yeah, so I did that. So while I was an engineer, right? I did my side business. I was like, I want to build up a company. I'm going to put it on a website. I remember it was like Florida Website Design. That was the mm-hmm. name. And I was like, total great SEO, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it out there and then I'm going to see what I get. And then all of a sudden I started getting phone calls. So I was like in the middle of work and I was getting phone calls. And I was like, and then I would always be like, okay, hold on a second. So it was a lot of fun. So then individually, and then after some time, so I think this was around 2010, 11, I had a major, my mom passed away during the time and I had epiphany. And I was like, either I do this hobby now. I want to create my own culture. I want to create my own company because, you know, my mom obviously like had her own business. I want to follow her legacy, right? So I did. So I started Chatterbuzz because I saw in Orlando that was like everybody here was so traditional. Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching TV and it's like, where's the innovation and technology of the company, of the city? And there was none. So yeah, so I decided to quit my job. I said, I'm not going to pay myself for a year because, mm-hmm. I saved enough, right? I'll take $0. And I went to my best friend and I was like, let's build a company together. And here's what I think is why it's going to do really, really well. Mm-hmm. But you have to risk. You're going to get $0 on the first year. And maybe in the second year, you get $10 an hour. Mm-hmm. But after that, I promise you, like, you'll make the most money after that. And yeah, so we did. And she's one of, like, the person that I admire because she's one of the smartest person. And she's a journalist, which is my weakest part. So yeah, so that's how I started my journey. I think it's just through hustle, right? A great adversary that happened to your life. And then just being fearless mm-hmm. and just say, hey, let's do this. And then the worst thing is that if I fail, what's the worst thing that can happen? I can just go back to being an engineer and making six digits again.
Yeah.
Right. So I believed in myself and I wanted the challenge. So yeah. I love challenges. I think you know that.
Yes,
so,
I absolutely know that.
My story.
That's wonderful to hear. And then also, do you think in the agency today, because you were an engineer for over 12 plus years, do mm-hmm. you think that it kind of brings in different characteristics and how you run the agency or anything to the table that makes Chatterbuzz different?
Yeah, I think everybody should work for a corporate company first because you guys see that how structured they are, yeah. how so process driven they are. And then I think as an engineer, we solve problems every day. So I come to work and my job is to solve a problem. And then a problem that's never been solved before, mm-hmm. right? It's like a new problem, right? So it's funny, even that, I feel like every day I come in, like I'm the dumb person because I know that's like, there's going to be a problem and I won't know the answer. And but I think it's that resourcefulness. But the structure that it gave me as a person, I think I learned really from the corporate world. And I had great mentors during that time, but I needed to learn from someone, right? And I think that that brought me success. It's not like fresh off the boat, 21-year-old, I don't know how to build a company, but it's what I saw and I implemented it here. Maybe it was a little too much, but it's still a structure.
Yeah, absolutely. Very process driven, which is always good to hear. So you start off on website, after engineer, starting off in website development, and then going into the digital marketing sphere as a whole, which in Orlando, there was really like, when you got into digital marketing, there were full service agencies. There wasn't just digital. Right. Did you have any doubt in being able to help companies enough in digital, or were you ever worried about like full service agencies having some digital so they weren't going to have like the plethora of different services? Or did you know, like, you know, I can really focus in and hone in on this?
Yeah. So no, I wasn't, because I did my market research, right? Mm-hmm. So I knew that on my side hustle, I was getting businesses, even the local government, like, was going after me. And a nobody, right? Mm-hmm. Not named, or like best company in Orlando. And they were seeking my advice, right? So I knew that I was like, okay, if I could do this just my side hustle by myself, right? What more if I can blow it up more? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really see any of the other agencies as being out in the community. So at that time, I was out in the community. I was like, who's talking after hours?
Yeah.
Who's doing the meetups, right? When meetups was super full, there was really nobody. Mm-hmm. So, and again, this was a time where I knew everything about Google. I knew Google Ads. I knew SEO. And then people were saying CEO, you know? And then social media at the time was like, there was no Instagram.
Yeah.
Like everything was like barely Facebook and, you know, Twitter wasn't even rising at the time. So it was just really the beginning. But through market research, I say, hey, I could be the first one, but I wasn't afraid just because I knew that we were both hard workers.
Yeah.
So.
What is the proudest moment that you've had as the agency founder and owner and, you know, constant problem solver?
I think it was the opportunity. So I wanted to build a company because I want to give people the opportunity to learn. So I think from a lot of walks in life, we hired a lot of people and sometimes they're not the right fit, right? But we really gave people a chance to blossom in the company, right? Besides yourself, right? So for example, like I had a staff member and, you know, she was a trans, right? And we didn't even know. And at the time, like trans was, we didn't even know what that was. This was like 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And like, she was so talented. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it. She's the one who created our colors today. And nobody just gave her a chance because it was controversial to hire her. And there was no like rules or policy in the company and how to deal with that, like which bathroom the person was going to be on. And then for us, because we're such a small company, we're like, I don't care which bathroom you sit on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you go to this bathroom, this bathroom, it's our own bathroom, right?
Yeah.
We're all one family at the end of the day. I think for me, it was like really creating the path. And I believe after that, like, she was hired to Disney.
Oh,
right. Because we were the Orlando agency at the time, and they were grabbing people from agencies. And so she was hired. And I think that was like a proud moment for me, because if it wasn't for us, like, that person wouldn't have that job.
Yeah.
Right. Because she was just freelancing and doing little things at the same time. But we let her elevate and she did well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that, you know, obviously I admire you and Maya and the agency so much. But I think that that speaks to, you know, how comfortable you make people feel. Sometimes uncomfortable only for their growth, but that's important. But also when it comes down to values and family, obviously I moved here 4 years ago and I only had my sister, my mom. Yeah. So coming in here, I felt like I was taken in almost at first as a kid. And then
You're crying a lot. Yeah.
I step by step, you know, grow. But I think that it's when you give someone the space to be creative or do what they do best, they are going to get there.
Yeah.
You just have to, you know, create that foundation. So. Any other things that you want to mention about your journey before we get into some of the digital marketing specific questions and where I see, you know, your strongest suits too?
Yeah, I think like towards time, you know, even an agency owner, it's, or just a business owner or everybody in general, because you're so competitive. So you always want to win on every aspect, but there's so many going to be failures, right? We fail all the time. So I think for me before, like when we would lose like a key player, like I would take it to heart. Or if we lose a client, I would take it to heart.
Yeah.
And man, I would have sleepless nights, right? And I was like, why didn't I help the client? And I'm like, why was I not that on the account or whatever else? Like, there should have been a way. And I think I took that a little bit more seriously. And I think now, you know, then you kind of realize, okay, you're not for everybody. Mm-hmm. You can't help everybody, right? I think I tell you that all the time too. We're just not the right fit sometimes for them. But I think it was those learnings though. I think you need to go through all those heartaches mm-hmm. and sleepless nights. And then sometimes reflecting back, like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Right. For you to grow, because yeah. sometimes then you become numb. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, okay, it's just another failure. Okay. It's just another client. But as long as I keep going and get my head high, then there's going to be another one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. And I think, partly for me too, it's like I'm, you know, it's faith, right?
Yeah.
Like faith or whatever. I am Catholic, but just I tell people have faith in general mm-hmm. because if you don't have faith, like when something is really low, mm-hmm. you just have to have faith that it's going to get better, right? And it's like you just have to strike along and it always, always does get better.
Yeah.
At least in my
Very
experience.
Very true. I completely agree with that. Yeah. So let's get into your expertise in digital marketing and advertising. Yeah. You know, the vision that you clearly succeeded on in the direction that you brought sure. the business. We're going into 2025. So looking into 2025, what is one change in digital marketing in this upcoming year that you think is going to be even more prevalent in 2025 mm-hmm. and that businesses should start preparing for?
Yeah, I think it's what marketers should be preparing for, yeah. right? I think the buzzword today is AI. I think I tell this to you guys and so the rest of the company, but you know, it's with AI, so a lot of the mundane technical stuff is going to get done faster. And it's really making us marketers become, you know, drivers and strategists at the end of the day. So if, you know, for the marketer to say, you know, I'm just this backend person that's going to do this, or I can just do the copywriting or whatever that may be, those things are getting faster and being taken by AI. Mm-hmm. So it's really just a matter of like, how can somebody be more wealth of knowledge in marketing, right? And understand the strategy to really make moves,
yeah.
right? Because that's really what a lot of these companies are needing. Like, hey, they might be good at certain things like building and manufacturing or whatever, but marketing that, we can just say, oh yeah, but I'm just really good at SEO. And it's like, okay, is that really going to help the company? Mm-hmm. And now with people being able to work anywhere. So I think it's not just AI, but being able to grab talent from anywhere, being remote is now becoming acceptable.
Yeah.
It becomes really challenging for us here to be a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think that happened in the engineering world when I was in engineers. Now it's happening in marketing as well. Mm-hmm. Most companies in engineering, like we will outsource to India, to China or other third world countries for programming, and it's not a problem. But that's happening now. Before it's unheard of in marketing.
Yeah.
Now it is heard of in marketing.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. And yeah. in many different job positions, you know, utilizing the AI tools that are there.
Yeah.
So big, you know, when we're talking about AI, I think marketers sometimes get scared, right? So like, is AI going to take my job?
Some of them.
Just as you said, you know, being the technician behind it, being the strategist behind how you utilize it to elevate your own position can absolutely help. What AI tools do you think marketers should be using to date that are going to help elevate their positions?
Yeah, so there's a lot of marketing tools. So almost every tool out there is injecting AI now. So even HubSpot is injecting AI, right? Even Ahrefs is injecting AI. So, I mean, at the bare minimum, just pay for, you know, OpenAI,
yeah.
which is like $20 a month, mm-hmm. right? And I have it on my phone. It's better than Gemini, so I find. But yeah, I think all the tools right now will inject AI. So it's just going to be a lot faster. I mean, one of my favorite tools is Ahrefs, obviously. You can find insights on any client or any company or any content if they're doing anything digital at the end of the day. But again, it has AI now too. So yeah.
Almost all of them. You know, some marketers get worried about AI, but there's always kind of a controversial note on AI, especially when it comes to content,
yeah.
because people think if you use AI, it almost has like a robotic feel. It's not that human feel or following story brand.
Yeah.
Do you think that you can still utilize AI while having that human personal touch to your audience? And how would mm-hmm. you recommend people use AI in order to support that?
Yeah. So the funny thing with AI is like, it can be there. It's just, you have to prompt it really well.
Yeah.
Right. So for example, like, hey, AI, I want you to be a story brand writer. Hey, AI, like read this type of writing content and then write me something at the same time. So it's getting better if it does follow directions really well. For me, it's just prompting it intelligently. Right. So if you tell it to do something, it will do it. And to me, I think it's pretty good, you know, but for me, it's a great starting point. And then the strategists and the copywriters that are really good at that just come in play. I think it's efficiency. It's not a replacement, right? That's what it is.
Are there any roles specifically within digital marketing or marketers in organizations that you believe should really, like, 80% of their position should be focused on utilizing AI?
Yeah, I think the copywriters should write it. I mean, just topics, like, who can write better topics or find research data than that? Paid media team should, I think, use it extremely well. Like, we have scripts or Google Ad scripts that we use today already. We are being pushed by the platforms to use AI, Google specifically, right? By maximize conversion, maximize clicks, and let AI do its work. So those are going to be always going to be including coding nowadays has AI as well. So I think in the aspect of social too, it is all over digital marketing. Yeah,
I'm like actually every single position at this point.
Yeah,
but that's true. I mean, I use it daily as you know. So yeah. I'm the same exact way. But with AI comes a lot of data, right? So let's look into the role of data. Data is the backbone of digital marketing to the core, right? It's how people know what we're doing, why we're doing it. It's probably the biggest reason for being in digital. But what would you recommend for companies to balance being data-driven while still being creative? Because as we know, you can interpret data in different ways.
So data is just there to help you, right? So it's going to help you, like, how to define your ICP, right? By guiding it, right? Do the research on the ICP instead of us going to the library and looking at books or something. So it can data mine faster for you. But the creativity, the strategy, or the angles, like, okay, should we do FOMO campaigns today? Or should we do kind of more problem solution campaign based on this audience, this ICP, based on this messaging? The messaging has to come from the creative team.
Yeah.
The positioning has to come from the creative team. The ICP is initially from the team with data back to it, right? To say, is my TAM big enough? What's the TAM looks like? And who are inside this TAM? Now, when it comes to, right, the channels, like executing the channels ahead, that's where AI can help. But the marketing foundation comes from the strategist and the creative team.
Yeah.
Right? Your brand messaging, all the stuff. That has to come from us thinking, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I want everybody to be more focused on. Maybe next year.
So what do you find are the most common mistakes that small to medium-sized businesses make in digital marketing, their marketing team specifically, and how can they avoid falling into those traps?
So for me, it's going back to marketing foundation. So it's easy to run a Google Ads campaign. It's easy to just put out social media ads, right? It's easy to just run programmatic. For me, it's so easy, right? Mm-hmm. Because tools are there and it's just really technical. But I think what everybody's missing is, like, the basic marketing foundation that we try to teach at our agency is, like, how do you differentiate yourself from the other competition? Mm-hmm. How do you position yourself? What value do you really bring to your clients to where you're so invaluable? What problems are you solving? Why did you build this company, right? So it's almost the same thing as we do with business school. Before you start, what's your mission? What's your values, right? What's your vision? And so a lot of companies don't have that. So if they don't even have that, what more moving themselves and it's like, hey, how do I position a company? What's my guarantee? What's my promise? They don't know that, right? So they just, let's build it. I see a cool thing, but there's really no brand to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's failing because, right, it's easy to pour money on marketing and advertising. It's easy to pour money in advertising and drive traffic. But if you don't have those words, conversion is just not going to happen, right? So those are the key. Hence why probably influencers do so well, because when I see these influencers, they look at this product and they're like, what's the problem? Oh my God, I'm so thirsty. Like, look at this thing. Like, they're the one actually providing value more than the company. And sometimes the company is learning from the influencers, like, oh yeah, oh my God, that's like a really good explanation of my product.
Yeah.
But a lot of these companies don't even know that. They didn't do that market research or survey. It's like, hey, what do you think about my product? Right? And that's what they lack.
Yeah.
So that is usually always the failing part of most brands and companies.
Yeah. Absolutely. Last questions for you today. So this is the spill part. So spill it, whether it's your secret sauce, whether it's a tool, tactic, or philosophy that you use and you believe that it can help other marketers advance their career.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to go to philosophies. So at the agency, you know, we practice traction And I love the IDS part. So if, for people who doesn't know IDS, so IDS is identify, define, and solve, right? The idea is to solve problems every day. So no different than why I became an engineer, because I want to solve problems every day. I wish it's world problems, right? Then we'll be there forever. But at the end of the day, it's like when there's a problem, right? Sometimes people solve problems like on the highest level. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do is identify and then go layers underneath that. Because sometimes that problem that you told me is more of a symptom of the real problem.
Yeah.
And I love the discuss part, which is the D on the IDS, because we're just discussing like 7 million solutions to be like, oh, well, you should do that or you should do this. And then really, you know, but after defining the problem, really doing that discussion and then solving. And then ideally, once you get to the S, right, and you do the work, the problem goes away. Right. And I feel like that's in everything. So if you say, hey, I have a marketing problem. Well, what's the problem? It's like, is it traffic? Is it conversion? And people always like, oh, I just need more traffic. And then you're like, you have enough traffic. You're just not getting a lot of conversion. Right. So when you ask the right questions, well, how are you putting your, you know, message out? Who are you going after for? So just asking those questions and they're like, oh yeah, you're right. I don't have a traffic problem. I have a me problem.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's almost like, but if people practice that on their lives, in marketing, in business, in engineering, which is called Six Sigma, like I think people will just find problems, like solve problems, like easily. And then again, if solution is like grit, right? Do whatever it takes, then it should be an issue.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on After Hours Buzz. We hope you enjoyed winding down with us and picking up some great marketing insights along the way. Don't forget to hit that follow button so you're the first to know when our next marketing happy hour session drops. I'm Grace, here to keep the buzz going. Until next time, grab your favorite cocktail, relax, and keep those creative juices flowing. Cheers.